Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that belief is not always easy. We're in the Gospel of John. We're working our way through John. Really, the theme of this beautiful book is all about faith. At the end of this book, it says Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing that you might have life in his name. And John is all about living today. In him was life, and that life is the light of all people. So we're just reminded that even though the Bible talks about eternal life, we're not people of faith that says, okay, I'll just endure this life. I'll just try to get through this horrible, rotten life. And then when I die, then I can really live. No, that's not what Jesus ever suggested. That eternal life is a life now. It's a life that makes sense. It's a life that has purpose. Whether things are going well or poorly, it's a life that can bring meaning into any situation. And that's why we're here together, coming together as people of faith. But faith is not always easy. And we'll talk about that in just a minute in John chapter 7. So I begin by asking a very delicate question. Did you, while you were growing up, ever have a sibling who was considered a bit odd? Yet growing up in the house, it'd be like, oh, okay, that's just the way. But in public, a little bit embarrassing. And before you answer the question, be careful because your siblings might be saying, yeah, it's you, Dad. It's, yeah. So, you're the one. Well, I say all that to say that one of the unique things in Scripture is it tells us the truth. And it tells us that Jesus, even though we had brothers and sisters and the mom and dad, the father being Joseph, but really father being God, isn't that not the truth? That his brothers and sisters and even mom and dad struggled sometimes with their faith in who he was, that he was considered the odd one. And we're going to look at some scriptures today that maybe we haven't focused on over the years, but I think they're unique. They give us some backdoor insight into what it was like for Jesus growing up. And it wasn't always well received. Even though Mary had the great visit from the angel who said that she would be with child, even though she hadn't been with the man, she would be with child, and his name will be the Son of the Most High. And then an angel comes to Joseph and said, you will have a son. Mary will have a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will forgive the people of their sins. And then even as we go on, we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And we have James who writes the great, beautiful book of James. And you have Jude who wrote the book of Jude. But there was a time when they were rather estranged from Jesus. Let's go back and look in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. Now watch this. Purposefully staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers, his own brothers, said to him, and this is kind of strange, you ought to leave here and go to Judea. Did you get what they're saying? They knew what was going to be at that other end. They knew that there were people there in Judea waiting to take Jesus' life. His brothers say, you ought to go there. Totally embarrassed by Jesus. Verse 4 says, no one wants to become a public figure, acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. And then it says this, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now, in the beginning of John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So other writers talked a little bit about this. In fact, if you want to follow along, in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, Matthew 13, starting in verse 54. Matthew 13, verse 54. Coming to his hometown, Jesus began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And they asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And then Mark carries on with this in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Mark 3, beginning in verse 20, says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of Jesus, for they said, Jesus is out of his mind. And then the story continues, and we pick it up in verse 31, Mark 3:31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Yeah. Who are my mother and my brothers? Jesus asked, which is a strange question. You don't know who your mother is? You don't know who No, Jesus is making a point, and he says this. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. For they themselves did not even believe in him. So let's go back to the delicate question. Did you ever grow up in a family where you had a sibling who was considered odd or maybe somewhat of an embarrassment? But did anyone have a sibling that would indicate anything like this? It's unique because we remember passages all throughout the Bible. How many remember what Jesus said when he said this? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has what? No place to lay his head. And that was quite literally true. Do you want to hear a scripture that is sad, but it's also very much the truth? We're back in John chapter 7. And if you would, look at the very last verse in John chapter 7. It's verse 53. In John 7, in verse 53. And then we'll go back and cover John 7. So at the end of the feast, it says, then each went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Why do you think he went to the Mount of Olives? Because he had no home to go to. But there was a time when his family took one big step way back, because they understood what the angels had said. But he wasn't acting like a Messiah the way they thought a Messiah would act. But have you ever stopped to consider if you and I were back there and we followed Jesus and we saw all of his miracles and we saw these incredible things, we'd say, yeah, he's the guy. But if you were taught all of your life that a Messiah is going to rule the world, he was going to live in the temple, and that from the temple he was going to exert his power all over the earth, And then when he eventually makes his way to spend time with those people who are considered the weaker people of society, people who are never welcomed in society, he's spending his time with tax collectors, with sinners, all the way through it. Wouldn't we begin to wonder, really, is he really the one? And John is making it clear, God never acts the way we think he should act. And I think that's true today. We often have a faith in a God that maybe sometimes we have created, but one of the cool things about God is he's always revealing himself to us, especially in ways we have maybe never considered before. And so in John chapter 7, he gives us this story of Jesus coming into this setting. And because people are waiting to grab him, take his life right then, it says in John chapter 7 that he secretly goes into the feast. In John 7 and verse 10, it says, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now, if you never really considered all the feasts that the Jewish people had, there were many of them. But the Feast of the Tabernacles, there's just no other way of saying it, was a party time. It was a magnificent time. People would build little shelters, little tents, if you will, signifying from Old Testament days, the harvest had come in. It was a celebratory time. So they're going to be there for a week. People from all over the world are coming in. It's going to be this wonderful praise time. And so all of these people are gathered, but Jesus knows there were some people who are waiting to take his life. So he comes along secretly, and he's there for a while, not really showing himself. But then what happens is, toward the last day of the feast, Jesus makes this great announcement. He has everybody's attention, and he says in verse 37, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let that person come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, this is somewhat similar to what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. He talks about living water. I can give you water, well, you'll never be thirsty again. And she struggled to understand that. And you can imagine people hearing this man, Jesus, standing up and saying something that was beyond their comprehension. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And if you were a life coach, wouldn't you just kind of want to nuzzle up to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're saying things that I think I get, but most people here are never truly going to understand. Why don't you just tell it plain? Just say who you are. Let people know what's going on. You're talking in ways that nobody really understands what's happening. But Jesus, in his wisdom, was just kind of building and building and building and building. And it wasn't even until after his death that some people said, oh, I think I'm beginning to understand. Now, I don't know what it's like for you, but I know for myself, faith is not a parking lot. And it's a highway that never ends. Sorry for people who have to drive every day, but yeah, it's just one of those ongoing journeys where he's always surprising us. He's always leading us into new areas, understanding him even better. And he's making this announcement. He's letting it be heard. And he said it in such a way that people were grabbed by it. But here's something unique, and this is the last point today. There were people waiting to take his life. And I'd like you to notice John 7 in verse 31. John 7 in verse 31. Listen to this. Still, there were many in the crowd who put their faith in Jesus. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? And the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. And then the story continues, and then Jesus makes his announcement about who he was. And then, if you notice verse 45, this is subtle, but it's beautiful. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring Jesus in? And listen to the answer. No one ever spoke the way this man does. Now, maybe it's because it's in the Bible. And maybe it's because we're not supposed to be surprised because it's in the Bible. But can you imagine? Here your job is, when you're told, go and arrest this person, you go and arrest this person. Can you imagine a police officer today being said, this person is causing a public riot, causing a nuisance, causing a disturbance, not making any sense, sounds delusional, go and get him. Can you imagine the police officer coming back and saying, well, and so they're asked, why didn't you bring him in? Like you brought in all kinds of people before. I've never heard anyone talk the way this guy talks. It's an amazing statement to hear what Jesus is saying. So my encouragement for all of us is, maybe we need to listen again to what Jesus is saying to us. Because I've missed this for years. In John 7, when he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit. And I just automatically went to, okay, it just means the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That someday we'll have the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, we now have the Holy Spirit. That's treading in water this deep when there's an ocean waiting for us to walk into. He goes back and says, how many of us are thirsty? Are we so satisfied with our faith that we're never even thirsty anymore? How many of us are thirsty? How many of us have said, well, I become a Christian, so there's no need for me to go back to Christ? How many of us are thirsty and will come to Christ and say, I need to drink more? I want these streams of living water not to turn stale, not to dry up, not to be parched, but to be a flow, a stream that's a constant flowing in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that sometimes life can be difficult. Because often in those difficult times, whether it be with a sibling or with our faith, we need to grow. And that you're always there through Jesus, through the Spirit, creating situations in our life where we can grow, where you continually invite us to come to you to drink from you. To not be so satisfied that we feel like we know you so well that there's nothing more to grow in our faith. But we come to you with our unfaithfulness, asking for faithfulness in an ongoing way. We want to remove ourselves from our puddle and allow a stream of your life to come to ours. We thank you for promising us that you will do this. Help us to stay thirsty. And through Christ, all of God's people said, amen.